Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Today is the June 2nd, 2014. And we're interviewing Ruth Nelson, our mother, and we wanted to get an oral history a little bit of what in the world her life was more like, more intimate than what we have in writing. I'm Karen Woodworth, her oldest daughter, and
I'm Ruth Ann Moore, her youngest daughter.
And across the room is
the mother.
The mother is Ruth Nelson. Okay. Well, Mom has written a lovely history of her family, and it was one that it was a good synopsis of what she did as a youngster and all about the family, where her mother came from and where her father came from. But there are a few holes, and we wanted to get a little more information from Mom and share it with the rest of the family. So was there anything in particular, Mother, that you wanted to tell us maybe today as we were talking?
About our life at home, probably.
Yes, that you didn't write about.
No, but I was much younger than the others in the family. I was 6 years younger than my next sister, and I was 16 years younger than my brother. So I don't know too much about their childhood, because it was back in those days, the Depression again. And very early, the older two left and went to the big city to work. And I know my third sister also went into the city one summer, and they worked for the Purity Baking Company in St. Paul, cracking eggs. And that was quite a job for two little farm girls. And my brother went to work for a construction company up in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, which was north of Minneapolis. But they would come home on weekends, and I have the older brother, Howard, and then the next is Ethel, and the third sister was Bess. The fourth sister is Dorothy, but she was too young to go into the city. And Bess was in high school, I think, but she did go into St. Paul 1 year. And
You were living in Bethel at that time?
No, we were living on the farm at that time, just outside of Bethel, about a mile west of Bethel. And so they would come home, and I can't remember doing a lot, except we would do, Bess played the piano, and I know we did a lot of singing. We sang songs like Me and My Shadow and Yearning and Jada. I was quite young, and they taught me to sing Jada, Jada, Jing, 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 and that was one of the songs, and Side by Side, and all the old 20s songs. And then Bess graduated from high school, and she went into Anoka, to the county teachers' college. She was going to be a teacher. And then after she graduated, she went to, she did some practice teaching in the area. I think that was the other side of Bethel someplace. But I do remember Dad taking the car and I always rode along with him, and we went out to look for where she was teaching to bring her home. And she was walking along the big main road, which was Central Avenue, and it was just a gravel road then. Now it's a freeway, I think. But from then on, things changed. She gave up her schooling and got married. And at the same time, my sister, my older sister, Ethel, had met her love in Minneapolis. He was, we called him Dutch, and he was quite a Dutchman, but he was an auto mechanic. And they got married, and Howard continued to work for this construction company. And
didn't we hear that, Dutch also had been a drayman?
No, okay. That was a farce.
Okay,
as far as I'm concerned.
What was Dutch's name?
Dylan Roy Klein.
And they called him Dutch. He was actually Dutch.
Because he used to, his mother kept him in petticoats, I guess, until he was 3 or 4. It was some tale like that. I don't know.
Good. Well, I'm glad we clarified the not driving the big hitch of horses.
Oh, that's, my son could probably relate that because he'd heard it so many times from Dutch's son, Dylan. Yeah.
We've got a kind of glimpse of that. Okay. What about meeting Dad? Because we know that he lived next door to you when you were in St. Paul. How did you, I know you went to school with him.
Yeah, and then, he moved from Canada at the same time that we moved to St. Paul from Bethel. And we ended up in the same grade because they put him back a year. And he had to start at the second grade where I was. And that's it.
And they put him back because he didn't have the education that you had at that time?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Schools were different.
So that second grade, so that puts you about 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
And you all were married by the time you were 18 or 19,
yeah.
Right? So for 10 years you knew one another. Did you live side by side, or how far apart did you live?
Not until later, several years later. When we moved from the farm, we moved to a small place. We still had those two girls with us, you know, that I told you about.
Yes.
And so we moved, and the older sister had left by that time, and it was just Doris who was left with us. And then she was adopted into that family in Minneapolis.
And your mother did this to make extra income because your father hadn't died yet, though, had
No, it? We were still on the farm when they came.
Oh, when the girls came.
Because we saw an ad in the paper that this man wanted a place for his two daughters. And in those days, there was people doing everything to get by. He was a car salesman over in Minneapolis, and he had these beautiful big old Fords, great big high Ford that he would come in, and he brought the girls out. And
was his wife dead?
Yes, his wife.
And he had bad asthma or something along
that line. He had asthma, knew he didn't have long to live, so he wanted a place for his girls.
Okay. Ruthann, you had a question?
When you moved to Minneapolis, where was this house when you moved?
In St. Paul. We moved to St. Paul. We
but
never
not
did.
Not near Roblin Avenue.
No, it was on Beacon Street.
Beacon Street, okay.
And then when you lived on Roblin is when you lived close to Dad at that time?
Well, we moved again. Was this about the time that Bess and her husband came to St. Paul because there was no work for him at all. So they lived with us, and we moved to another place so that they
could
need
a bigger home.
Uh-huh. And they lived it. Then we moved to 1887 Roblin. And That's when Alan was born. And then the family was getting so big, we had a chance to rent this house across the street at 1908 Roblin. And that's when we all lived together.
Is that when it was right next door to Dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was 1908 and we were 1900.
How about the cooking and the cleaning with that many people living in the same home?
Mother and Bess would share the cooking. Bess was busy having babies. I think Mary was born at that address.
She was born a twin and one died, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the home or where did the baby die?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember that. Alan was born at home, I know that, at 1887 Roblin.
Okay, now we're kind of interested we get both families because then Dad yeah. lived next door or close and you were in school. You must have been older at that time when you moved into the Roblin.
I suppose a couple of 3 years older.
Yeah, so when you know, we never hear the story of your engagement, when you decided to get married and start your own family. It was you because you lived with his mother, didn't you, once you were married?
No.
Okay, you started on your own. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, tell us about that.
I don't know. It was, we fought. We did a lot of fighting and making up and fighting and making up.
When you were dating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
sounds like teenagers.
Yeah, it was. And he was just hanging around all the time, I guess. It was, we didn't do much dating. I think movies at the time were 25 cents or something like that.
Well, did you go and watch him play ball or skate? I knew he was a good skater.
So he played ball, and he was a swimmer. He was always swimming, and I never did learn how to swim.
Till later.
Tried to. And, but he, we were very close to being in school. Then he had a little sister, and we were back and forth all the time, and he loved to come over to our house and talk to my dad. And he was very close to my dad. I used to get angry because my dad would come in off the road and his car was always dirty. And I'd go out and I'd work like the dickens to clean the car. And the next week he gave James 50 cents to do it. But I don't think I ever got the 50 cents.
Well, it sounds to me like he was trying to be a companion or help to Dad. Was his father unavailable?
No, his dad was a butcher in Minneapolis, so he was gone all day. And his mother, I think at the time, was also working at one of the schools as a cook.
Oh, what kind? I mean, just for the school children,
uh-huh.
for cooking.
Uh-huh.
She must have been a good cook then.
Oh, yeah, she was a good cook.
And when you talked about little sister, she was only a year younger than you.
Yeah.
That was Helen.
Year and a half.
Yeah. So you decided at a very young age to be married. Mm-hmm. And where were you married?
In Hudson, Wisconsin.
Why did you go there?
Because we weren't supposed to get married.
I relate to that.
And who was with you then?
Bess and Cliff and Aunt Dorothy.
Very good. And you had your dad already passed, hadn't he? Died.
Oh, yes.
So
that was when our whole life changed then. He died in 33.
And then you lived by, you had your own apartment at that time then.
We rented an apartment in...
Tell us about the bugs and the...
Oh, that's in the story.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. And how long were you there at the apartment?
Until his mother wanted to go on a trip and she wanted us to come home and take care of the house. And I think at that time she had roomers or boarders, not boarders, but roomers that we had to keep the rooms up.
I think I remember that house. It was a big old house with a two or three stories. Isn't that correct? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't remember the furnishings, but it was. It seemed like a nice home.
It's a nice home, but one year it was a duplex, and the next year she'd close off the door and make it into a boarding house and rent out the rooms upstairs rather than... We had one couple that stayed several years up there.
Yeah. Was that because, again, of the Depression? Was her husband dead at that time also?
He died in 36.
And what was his death? I mean, we know that he passed, but...
He had some kind of a poison. It was a heart condition, but he had had... I don't know. Truthfully, it was some sort of an infection in his throat, I think.
So that happened a lot because the medicine wasn't good. There were no antibiotics or anything along that line. So then you stayed there at the house, and Jim was born. Was he born before you moved back in with
No, he was born at the house.
At the house rather mm-hmm. than the... hospital?
No, he was born in the hospital, but we were living at the house.
Okay.
Then.
Now, did you live upstairs? Did you live downstairs?
Yeah. Well, we lived with them at first. And that was the night Jim was born. I was scared to death, of course. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to the hospital, everybody wanted to go along, even the girl that was living there by Foss. She wanted to tag along. Toots had to go along, of course. And I think Aunt Dorothy went along. And
and which hospital was that?
Bethesda.
Bethesda, okay. And what happened to this entourage as you got to the hospital, the people?
Well, they hung around. I guess it was over in a couple of hours.
But it was a very easy birth then.
No, it was horrible.
Aren't they all?
Oh, God.
But then, how long were you in the hospital in those days? They kept you a few days.
I think it was
days.
5 days.
And then you took the baby home. Mm-hmm. And how were his grandmas happy to see him?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was very wonderful little guy.
Well, I know Nina was very partial to girls. Was she disappointed that you had
no,
a boy?
No, she wasn't. She thought he was wonderful. So.
Was he a good baby?
Yeah.
Great. Until he got a mind of his own.
Yes.
Well, so how many years did you stay there until I was born? Was I born at home then?
That home? We stayed there. Yeah.
We know the story.
We stayed there until Ruth Ann was born. I think you were born there, I think.
I think, we moved to Ridgefield when I was 8 months old, so mm-hmm. I didn't know how long you kept the house after Nina died.
So you were there quite a while after Nina passed, mm-hmm. and you got a small inheritance, and then you moved out into the country by yourself. What did your family think about that?
I thought we were crazy. We moved way out 66 with Cedar Way south.
Did you do that intentionally? I mean, did you want to get away from all those folks for a while?
No, it was probably all we could afford.
Oh. And that was just prior, of course, to World War II. Mm-hmm. Ruth Ann was already born, so it was during World War II that mm-hmm. you moved out there. That took a lot of courage.
In fact, Dad was on the train. His mother had gone to California because we moved back. And then on the way home, she was going to save money, so she answered an ad in the paper in California for a ride home. And she was in an accident in Nebraska. And as a result of the accident, she lived about 2 weeks, I think, but she died.
Was it a blood clot or
uh-huh.
what?
That's what they told us.
They thought that her, whatever they had her embraced in, was caused a blood clot.
Or something, because she was all set to come home and died the day before.
She was a pretty sturdy woman, wasn't she? A strong woman?
Oh, yeah. I thought so. But James was on the train when Pearl Harbor happened. And that was the time that she had died, right about that time.
That's a very shocking time mm-hmm. in everybody's life. Now, after that, then, of course, you know, you stayed there in St. Paul until uh-huh. you moved to Ridgefield at that point.
Mm-hmm. When did Dad get drafted?
It was after we were in Ridgefield.
Okay. So I was already born.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had to get a letter signed that...
I did. I had to have it... Well, that was after he was in.
In the Navy?
And they were still... he was drafted regularly. I think there was nothing we could do then. But after he had been in a while, then President Truman was the one that said anybody with... three children, I think it was, something like that, could be excused. Well, and that's when I had to get a notarized letter to get him out.
Okay. And he was ready to be shipped overseas.
Yeah, right? He was at Treasure Island, all set to go.
Now, also, you said drafted. He was not a U.S. citizen at that time, was he?
Yeah.
When
he had
he
gotten
get
his citizenship paper. Now, I don't know if he... I don't remember if he just applied for it or if he didn't get it because he married me.
No, wasn't it because he was going to go in the Navy or something?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll have to find this that paperwork.
And he went to Great Lakes for boot camp.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you guys never really even got on a wedding, honeymoon, or anything like that. You just went home and started housekeeping at that point. Now, Dad was young. You were very young at that time. Did you work also at that time?
Never.
So you stayed home and took care of the house. And I imagine you had a big home there. That one on Roblin was a big house. Were they still renting to people?
But then we moved upstairs separately. Then we had... I think we had two bedrooms.
Was Aunt Toots already married then?
I think she was.
Because Tony was supposed to go with Dad to pick up Nina.
They were married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were all living there?
Yeah. They lived downstairs and we lived upstairs. Okay.
Now, you know, they was talking about an apple a day keeping the doctor away, but you've really been pretty healthy, except, of course, with your teeth. You had an operation for gallbladder once.
Oh, that was much later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you came to Kansas City, now that's kind of an interesting story about your incident in the hospital. Can you tell us about it? This was when you were in St. Paul and you were working at the library. It was actually the temple, wasn't it? And you had this incident where you had a stroke.
Oh, that was in 2001, 2000, wasn't it?
Yes.
She's jumping.
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of getting into the health area.
I was pretty healthy when I was in the early years. Where was my first incident?
In 2000, you had that stroke.
Oh, that was in 90...
99?
It had to be in the late 90s, because Dad died in 95.
Yeah, it was 97 or 98, because that was when I was working at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I had...
And a good neighbor found you and called the physicians. Do you remember anything about that incident in the hospital? Because we had a wonderful experience there, because the doctor telling us the story about what happened. Came to our room that night, and he wanted to see if you were still alive. And he said he had seen a miracle happen in the hospital room, where I think it was your bishop had come in, and a blessing was given, and he said, we were just expecting her to die any time. And all at once, all of these vital signs started coming up. And he was just quite shocked. Anyway, they had stabilized you, and when I flew in from Kansas City and Ruth Ann from Mississippi that day, he came into the room to check. And he said, and then he told us the story of being in the emergency room when you came in. And he said he had never seen anything like that happen because it was just immediate that your vital signs went up. And then after that, you were there, my gosh, how many days?
Not too many. And then I went to rehab over at another home, Lake Johanna over there. And I was there for therapy for a while, and I came home.
And then, yeah, we were there without any ill effects, I must say.
No, because
Still sharper than the rest of us.
I think my right side was gone at first, because that's when I fell, when, you know, they found me on the floor. But I don't remember that at all.
Good. Now, we, Ruthann and I, could only stay, not a long time, but then Cassie, Jim's daughter, came in. And how long was she with you? Do you remember?
Not long.
Not long. And then finally you were by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have therapists in at that time to work with you?
No, but I had a lot of good friends that came in and helped.
And were they what?
From church.
From church. Church friends came. And what did they do?
The young women. They were wonderful.
They cleaned or cooked or what?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were still kind of weak, because I think it was shortly after that you went to Mississippi, right? What happened with Ann down there?
Well, she was having some problems. I think they took you off some of the medications, and the more medications they took you off of, the better it got.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Kansas City.
Or came to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looked around.
And what year was it that you moved to Foxwood?
2001.
It was fun. I remember when you came to Kansas City, she was pretty weak, and we were walking between the garage and the house, and she went down.
You went with me.
I did. We both fell on the ground in a heap, and I couldn't get you up. So remember, I got that great big old chair out there. We got you on your feet again and moved in. And then we started looking for a facility. Tell us what you thought about. We looked around town, and we went to Foxwood. And what did you say then?
It happened to be, I think, that who is the weatherman here that was
Brian Busby?
Brian Busby was at Foxwood that day, and there were people all over the place, and I think every one of them spoke to us, and. They were so friendly. There was something about it that made you want to be there. And that's when we signed the contract, and here I am.
Yeah, the rest is history.
13 years. No, that isn't. Then the
14 years.
Surgery was after that.
Yes, right. Tell us about that. Why happened?
Isn't that in the story?
No. It was past the surgery time.
Isn't it?
No, it isn't.
No,
that's why I wanted to pick up some of these stories.
Oh, dear. Well, then I was quite heavy. I weighed 240 when I moved in there. So it was, I was having some health problems.
Tired, weren't you?
Tired all the time, and... I can't remember. I kept going to the hospital all the time. My heart was what do you call it?
Fibrillating inside.
Yeah. And every time the nurse would come by, they'd send me to the hospital. Well, then finally, I guess I had a stronger attack or something. And... they took me in, and that was when I ended up having the quadruple bypass. They put me in the hospital right away, and then the two doctors came in and talked it over, and I think they were trying to discourage me because I was 90 years old. And I said, we might as well take a chance. I got nothing to lose.
Well, she, Mom had a lot of plaque buildup.
Yeah.
And they said that if they thought they put a stent in there, it would throw off plaque and it would maybe stroke out.
Yeah.
So they gave her a choice of, do you want to do this open heart surgery or not? And then they talked it over, and Mom made that decision herself.
Yeah.
And the doctors prior to the surgery came out and talked to me, and the one physician, what was his name, the one that did the actual operation?
It begins with a Z.
Okay, well, whatever it was. He said the only reason that he even thought about doing it is because Mother was so alert and had a vitality and, you know, wanted to live. So they did that surgery that day, and it was, we were all waiting, and they came out, and they were very surprised.
You were by far the oldest patient he'd ever had.
In fact, remember, 6 weeks we went to see him afterwards, and the statement he made to you, do you remember that? He was talking about he had never operated on anybody that old, and there was another gentleman, he was 84, but he had that same vital feeling for life that you did, and he chose, and he said that he recovered very well, and so he kind of changed his idea.
Zelixson was his name.
Zelixson? Okay.
And he wanted me to send him a birthday card every year, and I have never done that.
But I think Holkins has told him about you, so that's very good, very good. So after the surgery, I do remember, now what happened, when you came back to Foxwood, you had to go in some kind of an assisted living for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I can only think you used to tell me, oh, it hurts. Remember how hurt your chest hurt for a while? But slowly but surely, you just got back to your own apartment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do at Foxwood? When you first came, I know you had lots of different activities. What were some of those?
When I first came, I think probably the first thing I did was to drive
the old folks.
The old folks to doctor's appointments and so forth. And then I
did the cameraman.
Well, then I went to work at the studio and worked the cameras first, and then I went on the board and did putting the rolling news on, and then I graduated to working the control board. But that was about the time when I had to go to the hospital and I haven't been the same since. I haven't been back to the studio as much as I was before that.
Well, you did. You remember you sat and went down and played with the babies, too, for a while.
Oh, yeah. Went down to Rock Babies.
Mm-hmm.
And, I worked with the Vespers program. On Wednesdays, we have Vespers at the assisted living part. And I even spoke in that, but I had to arrange for speakers and put the communion out and everything. And I did that for quite a while. And then I sang in the chorus for a couple of years. And
swam for a while.
Yeah.
And
water exercise.
So what do you do now?
Not a darn thing.
Okay, then let's go back to Ridgefield.
Good.
When you first moved to Ridgefield, what were the neighbors like? How did they treat you?
They were great. There were how many little houses in that group? About 14, 15 houses, and it was like a small town, wasn't it?
It was out in the country.
Yeah.
And we had farms on all four sides of our little tiny neighborhood. So,
and I didn't work at all. James was driving then. He was on the road quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one year, I decided I wanted some extra money, so at Christmas time, I went to work at Sears at the order desk and wrote up orders for people there. And then after Christmas, I was going to quit, and the boss asked if I wanted to stay on. So I stayed there for quite a while. And then I went and took a civil service exam and passed. And that's when I started working for the government.
At the VA?
No. Yeah, I worked at...
How did Dad handle that? You working?
Oh, he wasn't very happy, but he liked the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
'cause
did you put your money together or did you keep your money separate?
No, it was in the pot.
Okay, and after the VA, you went to?
The agriculture.
Okay.
And from agriculture, I went to the Navy, and I was there for a while.
Yeah, you kept closing offices, didn't you?
Yes. Then I went to the Army and closed that office. It seems to me there was another one in there someplace. And I was back at agriculture and stayed there till I retired.
Okay.
And you and Dad, you retired at approximately 62 years. Mm-hmm. And you had enough money that you could travel, and you liked to travel. Mm-hmm. Did lots of traveling.
I think he was part gypsy.
I think he was too. A truck driver's holiday is to go on vacation.
Well, after that, of course, we were out of the home, his children, but you would show up.
Oh, yes.
For all sorts of different events, and that was good. And then the big change in life came when you joined the Mormon Church.
Yes.
What in the world ever caused you? I mean, I was very shocked myself because you guys loved the party. Dad always carried his liquor with him.
But I think it was Mark that did it because we were so fond of Mark, and knowing that he was going on a mission, I was scared to death. I was sure somebody was going to get him.
In Germany?
I didn't know where he was going.
No, we didn't know at that
time. But I did. That's when we were in Florida after Mark. No, he hadn't gone yet, don't think. But we were in Florida, and we saw the missionaries.
Well, each person has to be converted. Did Dad feel about the same way about it as you did when you...
Well, we had such sweet kids that were there. There was one, the first one was a big Indian kid.
American Indian?
Platero, his name was. He was a cowboy, boy. He was a tough kid.
Was he Navajo?
I don't know what he was. But anyhow, he had, the other fellow was a mild-mannered kid from Washington State. And they just kind of captured us. Because they were so attentive, especially the kid. I think Platero kind of overshadowed him a lot, but I felt sorry for the little guy. But then they were transferred, and along came Marty and somebody else. I can't remember the other kid's name, but Marty really captured our hearts.
We visited Marty once. He was from Grace, Idaho, and his folks owned a big dairy business. It was more than a farm. They raised the animals and sold all over the country.
So that was when we took the... I think Dad was converted quicker than me. He really enjoyed it and seemed to understand it, and they were very patient with him, and we met lovely people in Florida that were a big help. And
since we only have a couple of minutes left, is there anything extra that you want to put in here?
What do you want to know?
Well, anything that you haven't told us that you might want to tell us.
I would like somebody to have a story about Aunt Dorothy. My sister Dorothy was a very special person to me and to the whole family, all the grandchildren, because she was just Aunt Dorothy.
She was Santa Claus.
She was Santa Claus. She was everything. And she never married. But
you think that was because caring for Grandma?
That was a lame excuse. Really, I do think if she'd have found the right person, I think she kept choosing the wrong people. That was her problem.
You know, I thought Anderson had offered his hand, but he didn't want...
But he didn't know. He didn't want Mother.
Yeah.
Did Wasn't she in love with somebody that was killed in the war?
No. No? No, she had a boyfriend, Ray Keehan. And he was sickly. I think he had a heart condition or something. But then she went to work, and that was the wrong move. And I know he was very upset when she...
What was her dog's name? I see pictures with that little dog.
It's Susie's.
Was it Scoot? Scoot or something like that? Was it? Never mind. Taking up time.
Well, she was a special person.
Yes.
But your whole family was very special, I thought. They were
my sister Ethel was very, very good to me when I was little. She bought me my first doll, I know. And she took me to my first movie. And she had a heart as big as she was, but she couldn't handle money. She was...
I think she passed it on, too, to her children. Well, that's...
And Howard had just one child. I didn't know much about him. I know he was a happy guy.
You said you didn't think he even graduated from high school?
I don't know if he did or not. He may have graduated from St. Francis.
And we're the only one we know. Well, Dorothy, I'm sure, graduated.
Then, yes. My dad let her... She went to a private school. And
Christian?
Always, yeah.
Because she was sick quite a bit, wasn't she?
Well, that's what they... Yeah. And the public school was just too big, going from a small town into this big school in St. Paul. She couldn't take it, so...
Dorothy was interesting because she was a career woman.
Yeah.
And did very well in her career. And trained a lot of the men that became...
Her bosses.
Yeah, her own bosses. In St. Paul, so that was, it's kind of an interesting family.
Yeah,
a different day and age, she could have been top of the line if it was today.
I kept telling her she should have gone into government. You know, at that time, civil service was a good job.
For women, yes,
mm-hmm.
for husband. But she did well.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was a true blessing. But in the family, it's kind of interesting because you did have long livers. You know, you're at 96. Your sister died at 90 what?
8.
98. Your mother at 103. And without the illnesses that the others suffered.
Both had two of them had strokes.
Yes.
Howard died young, but so did my dad.
Yes. And, of course, we don't know.
It was always a heart.
That's right. Well, heart condition, that type thing.
Was there anything about Dad's family that we don't know?
Oh, there's lots we're trying to find out. No.
But they were friendly people. And
oh, yes.
Very opposite of your family in a sense, though, wasn't
very,
it?
Very, very worldly compared to mine. Church was very important in our family, mm-hmm. which I'm thankful for now.
And you were the church-going Norwegians, and he was the... the wild Swedes.
Well, I think he's the only one that went to church.
James,
yeah. He had a little Bible from the Presbyterian Church, but I don't know that Toots, I think she went to a congregational.
But they were raised Lutheran, supposedly, right?
I guess being
Swedish.
Yeah.
Could be. Are we about to the end?
Yes, and as I said, it's been a real fun talking and all of us communicating a little bit, and we want to thank the library service also for giving us this opportunity.